You're listening to Simply Grace, a collection of meaningful thoughts, ideas, and interpretations of the gospel we hope you will find inspiring and thought-provoking. Delivered from the foothills of the beautiful San Gabriel Mountains, Grace Lutheran Church in Upland, California, has been serving the community of faithful for more than 50 years and is headed by the Reverend Wesley Mankey. For more information, or if you would like to make a donation, please visit graceupland.org. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast, Simply Grace.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew chapter 1. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. Let us pray. Dear God, we confess to you that at times we are afraid to interact with other people, because sometimes you call us to live differently in the world. But you send angels to protect us, and your life was unusual. So help us to not be afraid to socialize. Amen. During this season of Advent, we've been talking about how to work with people. It's a very important topic at all times in our life, but especially during the holy days. In the first week of Advent, we learned to keep awake, to be self-aware from Noah. Then from John the Baptizer, we learned to repent, to self-regulate our behaviors. From Katharina von Bora, Luther, we learned to be patient and empathize with those around us. And today now we learn from angels the importance of not being afraid. You will have noticed that of these 4 weeks, the first three, or 75% of working with people, is internal work. It's about being aware of ourselves, choosing how we behave and react, and making an effort to feel and understand how others are feeling around us. The final 25% is external, what we do and say to others. That 25% that we actually speak out loud is all the more effective when we take the time to keep awake, to repent and be patient. Today we learn from angels, because angels are a very important part of not only the Christmas story, but of the biblical story. Throughout the Bible, whenever angels make an appearance and talk to someone, the first words they usually say are, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." Why do they say this? Well, it could be that angels are so powerful and glorious that when we see them, their appearance might frighten us. Many popular depictions of angels are like cherubs, cute little cuddly babies. And while that could be true, it could also be true that angels are so unexpected and so perhaps beautiful and powerful that it's almost causes fear in people. But it's not so much really about their appearance so much as what they ask you to do. Angels almost always ask somebody to do something that is going to be a little unusual. I mean, the whole point of an intervention from heaven, from the spiritual realm into the earthly realm, means that there's some kind of course correction that's going to happen. There's some instruction that's going to be different than the status quo. And whenever you do that, you're going to be seen as unusual, and you might actually think it's unusual. And it's for that reason that angels always begin by saying, "Don't be afraid." Case in point is this lesson from the gospel according to St. Matthew chapter 1, where Joseph has just found out that his fiancée Mary is pregnant and that it's not his baby. Now, Joseph was a righteous man, and he wasn't going to make a big deal about it. You know, he had that choice. If he was more vindictive, he could have made a big spectacle of the ordeal, and Mary would have suffered terribly. She could have been killed, stoned to death for what the world might have perceived as her being acting with infidelity. But that wasn't the case. And Joseph, though, he didn't really know. And while he was preparing to dismiss her quietly and privately as to not shame her, he has this visitation from an angel. And the first words that the angel says to him are, "Don't be afraid." And then the angel goes on to say, "Joseph, this child is of God, conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, and you are to take this child as your own. You are to raise him. You are to be his father here on earth." And we know through tradition that Jesus was raised by Joseph and taught even how to be a carpenter. Joseph was his adopted father. But given the fact that Mary got pregnant before they were married, this was an unusual thing to ask for Joseph to do. He likely would have taken on shame. People would have assumed that he was the one that had acted with impropriety. It was unusual for the angel to ask him to do this. Many times in our world today, we are asked to do unusual things when we follow God, things that the world may not understand. And because of that, it can be difficult. Jesus also did unusual things. Jesus, after he grew up and began his ministry, he fasted for 40 days in the wilderness. And we believe that the devil came and tempted him and offered him lots of earthly wealth and power, and Jesus turned it away. After those 40 days of suffering, doing something very unusual, angels swooped down and ministered to Jesus. We read that in Matthew chapter 4. Later, at the end of Jesus' public ministry, the night before he's betrayed, he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane when people come to arrest him and betray him. And some people ask, "Jesus, why don't you fight back? It was unusual that he would be so docile and nonviolent." And to this he says to the one who asked him, "Don't you think that I could appeal to my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels?" From Matthew 26. The good news is that when you do something that the world sees is unusual, there are angels there to protect and to guide you. Like the angel protected and guided Joseph and Mary. And as the angels continued to protect and guide Jesus through his ministry, especially during times when the rest of the world would have seen what they were doing to be unusual. The angels say, "Don't be afraid." How do we understand angels today in our modern world? Well, given what we know about the world today, there's a lot of talk about something called organizational culture. Now, organizational culture is that feeling you get when you go to work or you're on a sports team or a school, even in a family or in a religious setting. Now, these influences, this organizational culture, can be positive and uplifting, or they can be negative and even toxic. You might have experienced both. You might have experienced times in your life where you just really enjoy going to work and it's a positive culture. Unfortunately, the opposite might be true as well. You might have to work in a place or maybe even go home to a place where the culture is toxic and you dread going there. The thing about an organizational culture is it's usually not tied to any one person, but it permeates the whole group. The sum is greater than the parts. The effect of a culture that is greater than the sum of its parts. It sort of bounces from person to person. I remember at one point I worked in a place where people were really kind of cruel to one another. And I have to say, I experienced some of that cruelty. And I noticed after a while that when someone was saying something to me that was unkind, I would see this expression on their face that was just twisted. And then the next day, a totally different person would be talking to me in a negative way, and they wore the exact same expression on their face. These two people were unrelated, and the rest of the time, they looked really nothing like each other. And I started seeing this again and again, the same expression when this behavior was happening. And I really started to feel that there was something spiritual going on. There was a negative force at play. In the Christian tradition, we don't only believe in angels, but also in the presence of demons. Demons are the negative equivalent of an angel, a spiritual force that can exert itself on a person or a group, and thereby making an organization either negative or positive. This is a way we can understand the presence of angels and demons, even in our world today. But the good news and the hope is that in the Christian story, in the Bible, at the end of time, angels will win. They will be led by Jesus Christ, God, and the powers of life and goodness will be stronger, will prevail against the powers of death and evil. And that gives us hope today. It gives us hope that when you go out there and you face different forces in your life, be them positive or negative, you can trust that when you follow God's will, when you communicate and socialize with others, there are angels there to protect and to guide you. And they say to you, "Don't be afraid." Joseph, after he heard this instruction from the angel, he listened to the angel. And he went where the angel told him to go, and he did. He and Mary had to socialize. They had to go out into the world and to share what God had said to them. And we are called to do the same thing. Social anxiety is something that affects so many people, arguably every person. But God sends angels, social beings, messengers, to help us to not be afraid. That people will hear us, they will understand us, doors will open, and we can communicate in a loving and Christ-centered way. So I invite you to put into practice these four practical instructions that we have learned in this season of Advent. To keep awake to how we feel, like Noah did, to repent from our actions, like John the Baptizer shows us to do, to be patient and empathetic, as Katie Luther was, and to not be afraid to socialize, like the angels do and call us to do. I'm curious, for those listening to this, what kinds of experiences have you had with angels? And I would invite you to share in the comments on the webpage what those experiences have been. As we wrap up this four-week series on how to work with people, a question remains. If we do all these things, there's still the question of how do we effectively communicate with people? How do we inspire them? And that's the subject we turn to in the season of Christmas, as God communicates to humankind and creation in a new and profound way. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this weekly offering of Simply Grace. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast, and if you would like to help us in our effort to serve the community, please visit graceupland.org and click Give. Thank you for listening, and we hope you join us again.